What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
A good win, but no ground gained in the NL West. 10 to play. Padres are two back. They don't have the tiebreaker. They do beat the Mets. They do beat a playoff caliber team on the road. We'll see if they can win the series on Thursday morning. 10:10 is the start time. The story, obviously, Manny Machado's grand slam, and then a couple of just like bizarre moments in this game later, including when they say it's a game of inches, they're not kidding. Juan Soto nearly tied this game up off Mason Miller. At one point, the tying run was at the plate there in the ninth inning before the Padres found a way to win over the Mets here tonight, 7-4. So make your way in, subscribe. We'll talk about it for the next hour. So please subscribe to this channel, year-round content. We'd love to get to 10,000 subscribers this season with your help. We need your help to do that. So if you're here live or on replay, please subscribe to this channel. Please smash the like button for us. You can follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. We see the first super of the night from No Mama. We'll get to all of your super chats wherever you want to take it. We appreciate your support of the channel. We'll pull your comment up on screen. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. We appreciate your support. If you want to become a member, you can click the join button down below. But it's a game they just had to have. I think if they lose tonight, Jim, they're out of the NL West race. They would have fallen three games back. They do win. You got one eye on the postseason, building some momentum. You've got one eye on the NL West. Machado, a big moment in a big game. He hits the grand slam. Padres win it 7-4, and that was basically the decisive moment for the Padres here tonight.
Yeah, we'll get into the game, but like big picture stuff, I think what tonight and after all the results that happened tonight, they, by beating the Mets, hold the tiebreaker over the Mets. So the sixth seed kind of feels like, no, not happening. Even though I didn't feel that way to begin with at the beginning of the night, it's now pretty much definitive, like that six seed, not happening, because they hold tiebreakers over the Mets, the Giants. I don't know about Arizona. They play the Arizona three more times.
Who cares? Arizona's not passing them.
It doesn't matter. The six seed feels like that's done with, okay? So don't have to worry about that anymore. Next thing is four seed, not happening. They are five back with 10 to play. I think that's what it is. Yeah, five back with 10 to play. Five back in the loss there. Not happening. Four seed. Nope, not happening. Dodgers, by them winning tonight, you know, I said on John and Jim today, like if the Padres win the game, and this was after the Manny Grand Slam, go Phillies. Like, they needed the Phillies to win tonight. Didn't happen. I'm not saying the division is over, but you got to make up two, really three games in 10 games. That's a tall task. I'm not saying it's hard, but I'm also not saying it's easy. So right now, I think it's pretty clear that they're either going to be the three seed by winning the division or the five seed and heading to Chicago.
1,000% accurate. By the way, if you look at Fangraphs at this exact hour with the results in, Padres result, Dodgers result, the Padres' chances of winning the division has gone up today. Now, I'm not going to go sell you some false hope, but they now have a 14% chance of winning the division, the Padres. The Dodgers have an 86% chance of winning the division. If you would have looked yesterday, the Dodgers' percentage chance to win the division was over 90%. You might be saying, well, why? If there's one fewer days now left, how has the Padres' chances of winning the division gone up? Well, I mean, I'm looking at remaining schedules, and I do think advantage Padres. Now, is it such an advantage that they're going to make up three games? That's probably wishful. But when you look at this White Sox series, when you look at the Diamondbacks at home, I think they'll be out of it by then. You're getting the Brewers at home. The Brewers haven't been great. I think the Dodgers, with the Giants still a rival and with Mariners on the road, it's not a foregone conclusion, is my point. Here's what I think it takes, Jim. I think it takes 9-1 or better. I think you go 9-1, Dodgers go 6-4, you win the division. Mm-hmm. I think it takes something like that. Again, it, by the way, you could go 9-1 and not win the division because Dodgers go 7-3. But I, that's why I think it takes 9-1 or better. I don't think 5-5 and the Dodgers go 1-9. You know, so I think it takes 9-1. Which, how likely is that? Not very likely, but can it happen? Yeah, they've done it a couple times this year. We'll see if they can do it again.
We would all agree, like 7-3 in a 10-game stretch, that's good baseball, right? Mm-hmm. I think 7-3, even though it's considered good baseball, I don't think 7-3 gets it done.
No, because the Dodgers could go 5-5 and win the division.
Right. So you're going to need to start having some results quickly here. Like, you can't keep doing this. And this is out of their control what the Dodgers are doing right now. So it's just happenstance or circumstance, whatever the word is, whatever. You're going to have to just continue to play well and continue to win games and hope that the Dodgers, stumble one of these nights that you pull out a victory. Because tonight was another night of like, okay, hopefully the Dodgers lose and they go out and they shut out the Phillies, and it just goes back to like all of the chances and opportunities that this team has missed out on, that if they just played 500 baseball over the last month, they'd be pretty comfortably in the division lead right now. But they didn't. The Dodgers have kept them around, and there's still hope, but it's fading, especially with that tiebreaker that's kind of like looming over the head. Because when you look on paper, like, oh, two games, that's great. They could finish with the same record and the Dodgers win the division. So like that extra tiebreaker game kind of feels like it's looming large here. Like, I think they could both finish with the same record, but that's not good enough. That's the big picture after tonight. Great win, right? Manny, the grand slam, bullpen, Mason Miller. Oh my God. Like, that was some cinema type shit there in the seventh inning with Soto.
It was kind of dicey. Right. I mean, it was one inch to the left.
I know,
it's crazy,
but overall, like, big picture stuff here, it's either the 5 or the 3. And that's what it's going to be. It's not going to be a 4 situation. You don't have to worry about dipping down to the 3 or it's the 6, excuse me, unless this team loses out. I think the closer we get here to the end of the season, the 5 kind of feels like the likeliest scenario here. Unless the Dodgers, when they slip up, you take advantage for one time in the last month.
I mean, if there's a silver lining to a 5, is that a 5's probably not locking horns with Philadelphia should they win the wild card round in the NLDS. Because Philadelphia is unlikely to be the 1 seed. They lose today. I mean, they have to overcome, I don't know what it is. Is it 2 games? So to pass Milwaukee.
No, 3. They're 3 back in the loss column.
Yeah, so they're very likely. They're basically locking up that 2 seed, which means if you do win the division, which everyone's going to take, I mean, you're hosting a wild card series, but if you win the division, you're going to Philadelphia in the NLDS.
Yeah.
If you win the division. Philadelphia's been the hottest team in the National League. They're 15-5 with tonight in their last 20 games. If you don't win this division, yeah, you got to go to Wrigley. That's not easy. None of this is going to be easy. But if you're fortunate enough to survive the Cubs, you're going to Milwaukee, which is the more desirable path from the outside looking in than going to Philadelphia. There's no question about that. And the Padres are about to play the Brewers. And guess what? The Padres will be favored to win that series at home because the Padres have been great at home. So they'll have some confidence if they're able to do that against the Brewers next week. So listen, I don't think the 5 seed's a death knell. Really don't. And it's not some excuse. I'm not saying, oh, I'd rather be the 5 seed than the 3 seed. I'm just giving you, like, if there's a cause for optimism, or if you can, see your way into that five seed, it doesn't mean the season is over because you're the five seed, or the season is saved because you're the three seed. I don't think it's as simple as that. I really don't. So whatever path it is, it's not going to be easy. I mean, the goals for this fan base and for this team are to make a run. So whatever the path is going to be, it's going to be hard to make a run. But I could tell you on the pros and the cons of multiple seeds. I think it's harder, obviously, as a road team in a wild card series. But if that's the path, that's the path. And to be a really good team and to go where you want to go, you're going to have to win some road games. So that might be the path that they're, you know, about to go on here in a couple of weeks.
And they made the NLCS as a five seed in 2022. It plays no role in this year's team, like, at all. But still, I mean, that shows that it can't be done. That it can be done. And they beat 200 win teams on their way to the NLCS that year, by the way.
Yep, that's right.
You know,
Mets and the Dodgers.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see. The win was really good tonight. They needed it absolutely for their chances in the division. Because if they lost tonight and the Dodgers, you know, won like they did, I'm coming on here and you're saying the same thing. Division's over. It's over. Three was 10 to play. Really, 4, 10 to play. Like, you're not doing that. So, I mean, the game tonight, it was kind of a weird type of game, right? They go up 1-0, then the score is tied 1-1. They go up 2-1, then it's tied 2-2, and then you get to the ending that Manny hits the grand slam, just a hanger over the middle, and you're like, holy shit, all right. And then the bullpen comes in, and Pivetta can't finish 5. Morahone comes in, and then Estrada, and he gives up the home run to the 8 hitter, then walks the 9 hitter, and you're like, holy shit. And this was the type of game that we've talked about recently that they've had, rearing its ugly head again, of like, this is where you also miss Jason Adam. You know, like, you're asking guys to get extended here in that bullpen. Because he's not going to Peralta, he's not going to Matsui, he's not going to anybody else. Like, he's going with his top arms, and he's going to make sure that this thing finishes out with his top arms. And if they got to go more than an inning, they're going more than an inning. But they pulled it off, and I mean, that seventh inning, John, with Mason Miller facing Juan Soto and Pete Alonso, that's exactly why you got the guy.
I got him. I mean, the problem is, the bullpen we were sold on August 1st does not exist. Mason Miller does. Yeah. Mason Miller's been terrific. I think Jeremiah Estrada, I have not a lot of faith in.
I got questions. I'm sorry. I got big question marks about him. Yeah.
I don't have a lot of faith in him. By the way, where this really would have been damning is what happened with Luis Arraez being thrown out at second and scoring to extend a lead in a game where the tying run's coming to the plate multiple times. Again, if you do this in the postseason, you're asking for trouble. They were asking for trouble here tonight. But listen, Mason Miller has completely lived up to everything, all the hype. I'm making that trade 100 times over. I'm sorry. I don't care if they're the 5 seed or the 2 seed or the 3 seed. Mason Miller now and long-term has a lot of value for the Padres. It's just, to your point, without Jason Adam, it's just more susceptible. You're asking guys to do more. I mean, tonight you had multiple relievers work more than an inning. Mm-hmm. It's a tougher strategy against a good team on the road. Morahone did his part. Like you said, Miller did his part, although it got dicey there. And it worked out, but this is a classic example, Jim, where if you don't add on, let's say as opposed to a Machado grand slam, they walk in a run and it's 3-2. They're going to lose this game. I'm telling you, they're not going to win this game if they didn't have that huge hit. Now, credit to Manny. Seriously, he's been looking for a moment like that. He's homered now in 3 of his last 4 games. Good for him. Seriously, good for him. And hopefully it means something for him moving forward. But I think it proves the point we've tried to make, like, no more sitting on small leads. You have to take advantage. You have to play for bigger innings. They capitalized. If you think about the grand slam inning, it was hit by pitch, walk, bunt, single, grand slam. So they got the big inning, and they're going to need those big innings, in my opinion, in the postseason, especially with this bullpen not as good as it was a month ago, not as healthy as it was a month ago.
It's funny how a ball that can be hit over the fence is so impactful and changes the game in such a massive way. Because like you said, if Manny gets a single there and say they just score a run or two,
they probably lose.
It doesn't feel like it's been, you know, like they're just like going to walk away with this game in hand. Like, that grand slam home run, Actually, you know what? That's stupid of me. No one says grand slam home run.
No, it's like saying
I know
the same thing twice.
Right. It's like saying the complete game shutout. Or no, it's like saying a
complete game shutout.
Yeah, because it's like, of course you threw a complete game if you threw a shutout.
Means a shutout is a complete game.
Exactly. So let me just rewind that a little bit. The grand slam by Manny, it's so much more impactful, and it changes the course of games. That's why the home run ball means so much. And that playing small ball the way they do, you almost feel like relieved if you're the opponent and you're the opponent's, you know, fan. Like you feel relieved if they just got one or two runs there by playing the small ball. When you give up a grand slam, that's demoralizing. And everyone's like, oh, shit. And that just, it can carry you throughout the rest of a game. And that's what it did tonight. That grand slam, it carried them. Now they added a run on late, but still, that was the game winner right there. You know, sometimes you just need that big hit. You need that three-run homer. You need that grand slam. And the fact that they're laying down bunts in the first inning, John. We were in studio. It's like, Luis, why are you trying to square for a bunt? Now, he got a walk, which was crazy. But, you know, the home run ball is your best friend, and it really could go a long way, and it changes momentum of games. And that's why in the postseason, I would much rather have a home run ball than them scratching and clawing to get a run across the board.
Honestly. I mean, Mike Schilt today, if you missed it, we played this on John and Jim, and you could probably find it somewhere, including on John and Jim. Mike Schilt had a 3.5-minute answer to a question why the Padres have more sacrifice bunts than any team in baseball by a wide margin.
Yeah.
And at one point used the phrase, tickled, when referring to the value of a bunt and why he's so like enamored by the bunt and the sacrifice and what it can mean for his team. To me, it sounded very like conservative / defensive. He said in that diatribe, that rant, that he was pro home run. Well, yeah, no shit. I mean, everyone's pro home run, but I think really sometimes it's like the actions do the speaking, not the words. And the actions are they're electing to lay down bunts in an effort to move runners, in an effort to play for a run,
right?
As opposed to a big inning. And you could argue that's because they trust their pitching staff. They trust their bullpen. They don't think they have the slug that's necessary to just run into home runs like they did here today or even yesterday with the three home runs. So I don't think Mike Schilt really changes his tune in terms of like the strategy heading into the postseason. I've made the point over the last month. I think he's bunting more over the last month because I think this is what he thinks he needs to do in the postseason. I think this is the plan. It's right in front of our eyes. The plan is already laid out. Get a guy on, get a guy over, get a guy in, and try to sit with small leads as opposed to play for big innings, which are a little bit more of a gamble. You can, right? You play a number in roulette, you can win 35-1, or you can, you know, win nothing. So I think they're going to play for smaller innings. I think they're going to try to sit on 2-0 and 2-1 and 3-2 leads. And if it works, amazing. And if it doesn't, you know, it's like you go down with the strategy that you've implemented. If you're Mike Schilt, I think it's a little soft. I think it's a lot soft. And I think it's very conservative. I think it works in 1977. I don't know if it's going to work as much in 2025, but we'll all be privy to it. We'll all watch it play out in real time in 13 days when the playoffs start.
There is a time and a place for sack bunting, for laying down bunts, and all that. Obviously, there's a time and a place. I'm not saying never, ever lay down a sack bunt or never lay down a bunt. I thought the bunt in the inning that Manny hit the grand slam, was that a rise? Or was it, who was it that laid down that
the bunt? It was a clean bunt from a rise.
Okay. Like, that wasn't a sacrifice. That was a
bunting for a base.
I'm bunting for a base hit. So there's different types of bunts. So I'm not like anti every type of bunt, but I will say the strategy sometimes that Mike Schilt deploys, you know, live by the bunt, you're going to die by the bunt, because giving up outs in the postseason are the most precious thing that you have to covet as a baseball team. Giving up outs in a regular season game on a Tuesday night in August, like, okay, I can complain about it. You can complain about it. But in the grand scheme of things, like, okay, whatever, this game tomorrow, whatever, right? But when you're in the postseason in a crucial game five, right, of a 7-game series or whatever, and you're giving up outs to just scratch across one run in like the fifth inning, that will come back to bite you in the ass. Guarantee it.
I agree. I do. I agree with that. And we'll see. I mean, again, we're going to watch this thing play out in a matter of days. All right, let's get to some of these super chats. There's about 450 people here live. So again, if you haven't subscribed, if you could help us get to 10,000 subscribers, we're pushing 9,700. So please subscribe to this channel. We'd love to get to 9,700 at some point sooner rather than later, and 10,000 hopefully before the end of the season. So please subscribe and thank you for the super chats. We appreciate your support, like this one from No Mama. Just click the dollar sign below the chat box. We will get to all of your supers here on screen tonight. No Mama, thank you. No Mama saying using Kyle Hart and more high leverage. Using Kyle Hart in more high leverage, he's been better, obviously, his last three or four times out. But you got to consider circumstances and when these pitchers are appearing and what the score is. No, is my guess. I mean, they have their four better options. I don't know if David Morgan's coming back or not. Even beyond the four, there's some pieces in there that are probably fifth and sixth before Kyle Hart. I think what they like about Hart, Jim, and the reason he could be on a playoff roster is he gives you innings if you need him. If you have a short start, if you're out of a game, if you're up big, if you're down big, it's a guy that can give you multiple innings. He has been better here recently, but I don't see Kyle Hart being asked to fill leverage spots for this team in the postseason. That would shock me.
Yeah, I think that only players out of the bullpen that will be in high leverage situations in the postseason with the lead are the four guys we saw tonight: Morejon, Estrada, Miller, Suarez. And I think in certain situations, Wandy Peralta.
100% Peralta, yeah.
Like, those are the guys Mike Schilt will be leaning on the most in the postseason. That's just my guess. I Hart is a guy that you bring in when you are trailing. Hart is a guy that, you know, you bring in if you don't have any other option.
Lead,
yeah, 9-0 lead, exactly, yeah. In the ninth inning or the eighth inning, right?
Then you start an inning with him, yeah.
Yeah, so that's when you see Kyle Hart. I don't see Kyle Hart becoming a high-leverage guy here this late in the season, because he did have a nice outing yesterday. He struck out I think he struck out the side, had five strikeouts, maybe more. I don't exactly remember, but yeah, the four guys we saw tonight and then Wandy Peralta, those are your high leverage guys in the postseason.
Yeah, they have enough when it comes to leverage. There's a number of built-in off days in the postseason if you are lucky enough to advance.
Right.
That I think with five-ish leverage arms, you have enough, hopefully, to navigate it with the off days as well. Alex, thank you, man, for the super chat. He says he was at Citi Field for Tatis's 22 grand slam. Was there today for Manny's. No ground gain, but nothing sweeter than a silenced New Yorker. Yeah, you could hear. We played the Don Orsillo call on the radio. I mean, to quiet an entire crowd, especially to do it in New York, in Queens, a big crowd, right? Alex was there.
Yeah.
Listen, the Mets need these games arguably more than the Padres, like what Jim said to start the show. The Padres are making the postseason. It's a formality. The magic number is four. They could do it by losing out, in all likelihood, but the Mets can't. The Mets cannot lose out and make the postseason. I mean, the Mets are clinging for their playoff lives. They're a game and a half up on Arizona, a game and a half. That is far from a guarantee. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm sure that was a sweet victory for the Padres against a hungry team. Now, can they do it again tomorrow to win the series? That goes a long way. We've talked about it. They don't win series against good teams traditionally on the road this year. So that goes a long way for me if they can win tomorrow at 10-10.
Yeah, a home run is way better to silence the crowd than a sack bunt to move a guy over and then a sack fly to drive him in.
Which happened in like the first inning.
Right. Happens a lot with this Padres team. That's at least that's what their goal is a lot of times, is like, let's just get this runner in. You know? Like, no, don't you guys want to silence the crowd? Don't you guys want to have like a momentum type swing back in your favor? That's what Manny's grand slam was. That was a momentum changing swing for the game that you knew in that moment, if you're a Mets fan, this one's probably over.
Yeah, you're right. That's exactly right. I mean, the odds of coming back from that aren't high. I mean, to their credit, they got back in the game.
And I know there's two outs, but like, say there was one out and the bases loaded. Manny hits a sack fly, brings a run in. Padres increase their lead 3-2. Okay. And then Gavin Sheets comes up and he does exactly what he did. And is at bat there, flies out to left. You're up 3-2. That's awesome. the other dugouts thinking to themselves, we'll take that every day of the week. Bases loaded with Manny up, and we only gave up a run there. Like, they take that every day of the week. And I know there's two outs.
One out.
There was one out with Manny?
Tonight, one out.
Okay, that's right. You're right.
Yeah, there was one out tonight.
So my point remains is, like, if Manny hit a sac fly there, runner scores from third, you go up 3-2.
It's like a win.
Gavin, it's a win. It is a huge win. And if you're a fan, you're not like, deflated because you just gave up a sac fly. You're like, good. You feel like, yes, all right, we only gave up a sac fly there. And the game is completely different.
I agree. JD's third, thank you, man. Appreciate the super. He says, what was Elias Diaz doing? Yikes on Sirius. This was just a bad play because you see a ball. I mean, we're watching this in studio and you're like, well, a run just scored. Luis Arraez just ripped the ball down the right field line. There's a guy at second. There's no world. I don't even know the circumstance where a run can't score on a play like that. And Diaz, because he's certain he's going to score, and I get it, he's not going at it 100% from second. He's going to score. The ball's in the right field corner. But then the throw goes into second. And as he's jogging over home plate, Arraez is tagged out, which takes the run off the board. They're both to blame, in my opinion. If I'm Arraez, I'm not trying to get hung up there because I'm assuming that Diaz has already scored. And if I'm Diaz, I'm assuming no out is going to happen on the bases before I reach home plate. I just think it's bad luck. I mean, it would have been an absolute disaster if they lost this game. I probably would have freaked out at, like, Diaz, Arraez. I don't even know what I would have said, but they won the game. I don't even know who's most accountable. Truthfully, I would guess Diaz because he's not hustling. But, I mean, who is hustling when a ball is hit down the right field line? And there's no throw that's even coming to the plate.
End of the day, that just can't happen. You know what I mean? Like, that just can't happen.
Yeah.
Like, you can't get thrown out at second there. And you got to be hustling home.
Who do you blame more, right? Diaz or Arraez? Probably Diaz.
I mean, look. To be honest with you, I have to watch the play again because I was driving, picking something up. Just showing the highlights.
I don't know if it's in there or not.
Here we go.
It's
kind of
a weird play.
Okay, so the top of the sixth. Runners at first and second. Two outs. Arraez. Hard hit ball to Soto.
I mean, like, how does a run not score there?
And why is Arraez trying for a double?
I put it on Arraez. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean,
like, the run scores if you just stop at first.
Like, everyone gives shit for Juan Soto for being this, like, awful defensive player. And at times he does not look good in the outfield. But he's not like a complete, like, he's not some guy out there that doesn't know, like, how to throw a baseball. Like, remember when he was the Padres, you know how many outfield assists he had in left field that year in 2023? He had a ton.
Because everyone runs on him.
But, okay, you ran on Soto, and he just said, okay, fine, sure.
Yeah, I mean, it was a dumb play all around. Who cares? They won the game. It's inconsequential is what it is. Steve, thank you, man, for the super. He says, take the win, now get the series, hashtag LFGSD. I mean, that's the critical component here when you look ahead to tomorrow. Can they win a series again against a playoff caliber team on the road? And it remains to be seen. I mean, it's Randy Vasquez tomorrow. It's this prospect that has been, I think, terrible. I think his last time out, he went less than an inning. Jonah Tong, who Arraez, for whatever reason tonight, over by the dugout, slapped him on his hat. Did you see that?
That was weird. Did that.
And he wasn't in on the joke. He did not like it. Tong was like, what are you, like, it was a very odd circumstance between Arraez and Tong. Anyway, the point is the point. He's a huge prospect. His numbers are awful.
Yeah.
And the Padres, Randy Vasquez has given them good chances to win. Whatever their record is, the Padres, when Randy Vasquez starts, it's freaking good. So capitalize on this opportunity, win the series, get to Chicago, keep the pressure on the LA Dodgers. You might just be a day away from winning a game and the Dodgers losing a game. That has not happened, by the way, in September. Kevin talked about this today. Yeah. It's happened like one time where the Padres won and the Dodgers lost. And it's only happened like two times the other way where the Padres lost and the Dodgers won. So these two teams have stayed within like a game or two of each other for like weeks on end now.
It's crazy. And that's why I feel like it, you know, it's so hard to gain two games in 10 days because look what has happened the last month. Steve's been right there with the Dodgers for a month and still haven't been able to pass him. So now we're expecting that to happen in 10 days or in 10 games and make up three for the tiebreaker.
Hold on. Great point, by the way, from the chat, rewatching the Arise play, Jim.
Yeah.
In looking at a replay, and Machado's telling Diaz to just hold up. Like, you don't have to, like, you're good. The throw's not coming to the plate. Like, he's like, so, I mean, you watch Diaz just walks across home plate. Man, he's like, you're good.
Well, okay. Again, that's why I think I put the blame on Arise there for trying to take the extra base with two outs. Doesn't make any sense to do that.
It's just the ball hit to
right field.
Yeah. Like, it's hit to right in front of the right fielder. It didn't get by him.
Like, you're not Fernando. You're not Jackson Merrill.
No, you're not fast.
And you were out by, like, a good couple feet.
Yeah. You're the slowest fast guy ever.
Yeah. So I put the blame on Arise in that situation.
Yeah. Like, stop trying to pad your stats and get an extra base out of it. Just take the RBI. And he ended up with neither the RBI or the double. JD's third, thank you, man. He says, postseason Schilt is a liability, sad but true. He's 0-4 in playoff elimination games. He's the Manny Machado of Met. No, this is, I know, I feel like to some extent, dude, you're always trying to troll.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Yeah.
Because what was he supposed to do last year in game five? What? Give me the one. You could have had Casey Stengel managing. You could have had Joe Torre managing. You could name the manager that would have resulted in a win without scoring. Was it Mike Schilt's fault they didn't score in game five last year at Dodger Stadium? No. Give me a break. So managers matter, but you can't put it on the manager in decisive playoff games solely on the manager. That's an absolute joke. Everyone understands that. There's examples where managers might be outmanaged or second guessed, but game five is not a good example of that at all. Nor is game four, truthfully. I mean, who knows why Dylan Cease started that game? I don't think Mike Schilt raced into AJ Preller's office like, you will start Dylan Cease.
Right.
Or I'm out. And by the way, did they score in game four? No. So I think that's lame. You know, I'm not saying Mike Schilt's the perfect manager. He's not. Dave Roberts isn't the perfect manager. He's been widely vilified. Mm-hmm. But they're all criticized heavily.
Yeah.
Unless you win at a very high level. And even Dave Roberts has won at a high level and he's criticized heavily. So, no, me and you feel the same way, Jim. Is he the best manager? No. Do we criticize a lot of things he says?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. But I'm not blaming Mike Schilt because the Padres lost the Dodgers last year in game five.
In game five, no. But I will blame Mike Schilt for pitching to Ohtani in game one. I will put some of the blame on Mike Schilt for having Dylan Cease out there on short rest in game four. That's where I would put blame for Schilt. And it cost him the series. I mean, those two moves there, pitching to Ohtani in game one and then being a part of the conversation that ended up to agreeing to have Cease pitch game four. Yeah, I put those on Schilt.
Fair, and I said that in real time in game one, and I was critical of Schilt last year in the postseason in the Dodgers series. It's still hard for me to go down the game four path on Schilt because I don't know what happened, and they didn't score.
Yeah, they lost 6-0 or something.
I mean, so they could have lost 1-0. They could have had freaking Cy Young on the mound if you don't score.
Exactly.
You know? All right, we're going to get back to the conversation in a moment. Do need to thank our title sponsor here on the wrap-up show. He's been with us for 4 years and 2 months. Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance. He's been with us each and every month for the last 4+ years. If you support this channel, please support Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance. If you have an insurance need, trust us. He will take care of you and your family. He's going to save you time and money. And if you ever need him, he will be there for you. He's been there for my family. He'll be there for your family. I've got homeowners, life insurance, earthquake insurance through Mark. He does auto. He does renters, whatever you need. Click the link in the description down below to get a free quote online. Call Mark. He'll talk to you about the Padres. Trust me. And he'll talk to you about saving money on your insurance. I had to file a claim in 2022. He saved us so much time and money. If you ever need him for any reason, he is there for you. Pick up the phone, text him, email him. He'll get back to you immediately. So before you renew your current policy, get in contact with Mark Nimitz. Click that link in the description down below. And if you support this channel, please support Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance.
Yeah, all his information is on that ticker there. mnimitz@farmersagent.com. And you reach out to Mark, let him know that John and Jim from the wrap-up show sent you.
So again, the story tonight obviously is Machado. It's winning in New York. You know, Pivetta doesn't make it out of five, allows 3 home runs. The silver lining is 3 solo home runs. The Mets have hit, what, 7 home runs in the series, if I'm counting that properly?
Almost 8 with Soto tonight. The ball, like, just went foul. It was crazy.
I mean, that was insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, Pivetta, I think you're if there's one guy you're asking for to give you in the postseason, the 5+ innings, it's Nick Pivetta, obviously, mm-hmm. based on what he's done by and large this year, but they figured it out. It was nice to have the insurance runs on the Machado Grand Slam. Couple of hits from Tatis, right? Encouraging. Couple of hits from Arise, including the one where he was thrown out at second base. Laureano, by the way, was mired in a 3-for-33 coming in. Had 2 hits here today. Merrill. And Merrill's hot, dude. 2 more hits hot from Jackson Merrill. So, like, when I say multi-hit games from Tatis, Arise, Machado, Merrill, how many times has that happened this year? All 4 with multi-games in the same game. I'll say twice, not more than that.
Nah, yeah.
So, like, this is a rarity. You had 4 multi-hit games from the big four. Like, I can count that on one hand. I promise you that this year.
The thing with Pivetta that you have to look at, I mean, it's you have to look at stats. Baseball is a game of stats. His home ERA compared to road ERA it's not like super concerning, but it is something to point out. At home, he's been incredible. A 2.22 ERA at home. He's 8-1 at Petco Park with a 2.22 in 16 starts. In 14 starts on the road, still a very good record. He's, well, not very good, but I mean, it's acceptable. 5-4. With a 3.55 ERA on the road. So like a run and a half difference. Almost.
It's, yeah.
And you saw it tonight, didn't make it through 5. He gave him the chance to win, obviously, and he came up big in some moments, but like if you're starting on the road and you're starting with Nick Pivetta, you're not gonna most likely get the Nick Pivetta that we see at Petco Park. You're going to get a little lesser version of that on the road. And you just maybe hope that, you know, that game one start, he pitches like he's pitched at Petco instead of pitching what he's done on the road this season, especially the last time he pitched at Wrigley Field, and it was not pretty.
Yeah, I like that. That's an interesting point I hadn't fully thought about, although I know we've discussed it. So, yeah, you go all the way back to in Chicago, 3 innings, 6 hits, 3 runs.
Yeah.
So that's not acceptable, obviously. Now it was April 5th,
which will be start of the season.
Exactly one half of an actual calendar year away from October 1st or whatever, right? 6 months removed from that start. I don't even remember the weather, their conditions, and who
it was
even
fine.
Knows.
It wasn't even bad. It was fine.
Yeah.
Normal weather.
But I mean, it's so long ago that I'm not going to say because he went three innings and allowed three runs, that's necessarily the result the next time he faces the Cubs at Wrigley. Could be better, could be worse. I mean, I really have no idea. By the way, when he faced the Cubs at Petco, six innings, one run.
Yeah. Well, that just shows like his road home splits. They're a thing. It's not like he's pitched poorly on the road, but you know, a 3.55 ERA, that's pretty good. It's not great. It's okay. But when you have a 2.2, you know, 2 ERA at home and you're 8-1 and you go on the road and you're 5-4 with a 3.55, it's like something to point out, something to look at.
100%.
And kind of have that knowing going into a series that probably not going to get the Nick Pivetta that we see at Petco Park, which has been dominant all year. And you're probably going to get more close to a Nick Pivetta that we saw tonight.
And remember, well, you're right on Pivetta. It's a team thing.
Yep.
The team isn't good on the road. Pivetta's been good enough, but the team in general will finish this year under 500 on the road. Their best possible record is now 40-41. That's if they win their next four road games. Mm-hmm. So they're 36-41. That's not a good winning percentage.
No,
it's fine. You can get by when you're 20 games over, whatever they are at home, but that's the value of playing games at home. Like we were talking about, this is not a great road team. They're okay. And they're not good against good teams on the road. Matt, appreciate you, man. Thank you for the generous super chat, guys. If you are here, please subscribe here on content for you. Please help us get to 9,700 subscribers and subscribe if you're here live or on replay. And thank you for the super chats and the super thanks. If you're here on replay, just click that dollar sign below the chat box. He says, hey guys, big fan of your work. Thank you, man. He says, Dodgers have a big test ahead with their schedule and the bullpen is in rough shape, or the bullpen's rough. I'm a Dodgers fan. I think the Padres are in this. Interesting perspective. I mean, I think the Padres are in it as well. I mean, look at the schedule, Jim. Four against the Giants, who are a rival and have played, for whatever reason, well enough down the stretch. Mm-hmm. And then three in Arizona. Is that right? Yes.
Yeah.
And then three in Seattle. Like, that's honestly, tough. If you told me that was how the Padres were finishing, I'd be like freaking out. Like if the Padres are trying to hold a two-game lead with that remaining schedule, I would be holding on for dear life. Mm-hmm. If I knew they still had to go to Arizona, I call it the House of Horrors for the Padres. If I knew they still had to go to Seattle, as good as the Mariners have been at home, with as much as they have to play for. And then the Giants, the way they're playing, I mean, it's just kind of tricky. So, I mean, I understand the point. I'd still rather be in the Dodgers' shoes, Matt. I'd rather have the two-game lead with three because of the tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's like, quote-unquote, easy. Like, I don't think they just kind of walk across the finish line. Like, this thing definitely could come down to the final day or so.
The Mariners, going back to the end of July.
Okay.
They've had, let's see here, four. They've had 10, 16. 16 plus 7 is
23.
But 23 home games since July 31st. The Mariners, team that the Dodgers play at the end of the season in Seattle. Can you guess how many losses they have in those 23 games?
In 23 home games?
Mm-hmm.
I can guess, and I will.
What do you got?
18-5.
They've lost three times.
They're 20-3 in their last 23 home games.
Yep. They just swept
To the Padres.
Yep. They just swept the 7-game homestand. They lost one game to the Padres. Wait, hold on. One, two, three. Oh, sorry. It's four. No, three. Sorry. Only three. My bad. Three. Yeah. Because they had a 10-game homestand. They lost one game. They had a 6-game homestand. They lost two games. And then they just recently had a 7-game homestand where they lost zero games.
Hmm.
So
it's insane.
So you hope that stands and sticks when the Dodgers play the Mariners for three games to end their season. 20-3 in their last 23 home games, the Mariners. They've been awful on the road.
Basically, if you get to the final three games of the year, mm-hmm, and you're even, but you're really one back, you see what I'm saying? But you're right. Even.
Yeah.
I'm signing up for that right now.
Hell yeah. Go Mariners, dude.
Vetter Cup rivals. Let's go.
I mean, shoot, you could be one back, which is really two back.
Yeah.
You go 3-0, they go 1-2.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, again, there's enough time. That's the thing. Like, time is of the essence, but there's still 10 games. There is enough time. As crazy as that sounds, there is enough time. What's that?
A lot has to go right for you still. Like, when you win, like, you got to catch the Dodgers, and Dodgers have to play poorly.
Yeah, but you just told me the Mariners are 20-3 at home.
I know, but that's just three games. There's still seven other games the Dodgers are going to play before then.
Yeah, but shit, if they lose a series in Seattle, I mean, I'm saying that I don't think the Dodgers will have it wrapped up by the time they get to Seattle.
Right. This thing might go down to the wire. Right. That final weekend of the season, this thing might go down to the wire.
But yes, you're right. The Padres do not control their destiny. There's no question about it. And they're one day away from being cooked if they lose tomorrow and the Dodgers win.
Yeah, it feels like it.
But they're also one day away from being in it if the Dodgers lose tomorrow and the Padres win tomorrow. Hendrick, thank you, man. He says, pitch doctor needs to fix Estrada and quick. Is there a working theory on Jeremiah Estrada?
My only working theory is overuse. And yeah, the long season's true. Coming back to kind of get to him here. Said this the other night on the wrap-up show. His ERA in his last seven appearances was like over seven. Now, looking at his ERA over his last seven seven appearances is up to nine. It's a nine ERA. Last 15 appearances, ERA over eight. Last 30 appearances, ERA over four.
That's not good.
Not good. You know, his ERA for the season is 3.57. Yes, I know a lot of the damage this year that Jeremiah Estrada has, you know, surrendered has been against the Dodgers, but still, that doesn't take away from what he's done recently. And what he's done recently has not been against the Dodgers. It's not been good. It's not been trustworthy. I mean, thank God for Mason Miller tonight. I mean, we haven't even really talked about how Mason Miller pitched tonight. I mean, he gave you five huge outs there.
Five outs, a lot of outs, yeah.
And the save of the game, I'm sure I didn't hear Schilt post game. But I'm sure the save of the game, Schilt will say that it was in the seventh inning, even though Robert Suarez did have two on with two outs and Juan Soto was at the plate in the bottom of the ninth inning down by up by three runs. So, I mean, that's also a big moment there too. But as far as Mason Miller goes, you know, Morjon was great tonight. An inning and a third, two strikeouts, no base runners allowed. Mason Miller, I thought, was even better. An inning and two thirds, two strikeouts, two of the biggest strikeouts of the game against Alonso and Soto. But yeah, Suarez and especially Estrada, those two scare me.
Yeah, basically, like,
that's half a year of like big four now.
Basically, everyone other than Miller, I'm with you on Morjon. Morjon's been very good, but like,
yeah,
I kind of want Miller to pitch every day and go multiple innings every day in the postseason. I know that's not going to happen, but you're right. His stuff is dynamic. He dodged the Soto potential game tying home run by an inch, but he was outstanding. The end result is the end result, and he was once again outstanding. All right, guys, the next time you're at a Lucky Box vending machine, make sure to use our promo code. It is the word Padres, all lowercase. You're going to get $5 off. These are mystery vending machines. You choose if you want a sports card or a Pokemon card or a sports autographed jersey. And then it takes care of the rest. And you can use our promo code Padres, all lowercase, get $5 off. I picked up a Fernando Tatis Jr. Auto 10 when we were in Vegas back in July. These are all over Vegas. And if you're in Southern California, I know you're spending time in Vegas. The next time you're in Vegas, you have to find one of these machines. It'll find you. They're everywhere. Circa in Las Vegas, they're everywhere right now in Las Vegas. There's going to be 20 of them. They're coming to Southern California. They're in Chicago if you're going to the series. Potentially coming up at Wrigley. They're in New York if the Padres end up in New York, or you're in New York right now watching the Padres at Citi Field. So use the promo code. You're going to absolutely love this product. The next time you see one, you have to take advantage of it, whether it's sports cards or Pokemon cards or autographed jerseys. You could pick up like a Messi Auto 10 card or a Patrick Mahomes signed jersey or a Fernando Tatis Jr. Auto 10 card. So use our promo code Padres, all lowercase, and take $5 off.
And becoming an exclusive loyalty program member, all you got to do is go to luckyboxvending.com. It's free of charge. Just put your email and your phone number. Once you do that, you get insider perks, early location drops, and exclusive giveaways like chance to win signed memorabilia. So if you want to become a loyalty program Golden Ticket Club member, Just go to luckyboxvending.com or scan a QR code at any machine in the country.
I'm going to get to the super that just rolled in here from Jeff in a second, but someone put, and I mean, I'm a math guy, but DS just said, just look at how bad we are as fans. A simple standard deviation with 10 games left is 32%. Jim's not going to get this. Or 3.2 games, so 3 games. So why are they cooked if they drop a game to 3 games? Let me explain why. Because they're not 3 games back if they fall to 3 games back. They're 4 games back. And the damning part of that is there are no longer 10 games remaining if you're 4 back. There are now 9 games remaining. Wow. You're cooked at 4 back. Trust me, the math will not support overcoming 4 games. It's possible,
unless you're
perfect. 1 in 100.
Unless you're perfect and the Dodgers slip up.
That's exactly right. So I'm telling you, they cannot fall 3 games back at any point from today until the final, you know, until elimination. They cannot fall further behind.
Yeah, don't look at the standings and look at the number two as far in the game back column and think that they're 2 back right now, because they're not.
They're not.
The Dodgers own the tiebreaker. There's no game 163 anymore.
Yep.
You know, so even if they finish with the same record, say they're 90-72 or 91-71, whatever. Tiebreaker goes to the Dodgers. They win the National League West, even if they have the same record. So they have to outplay them in the final 10 games remaining of the year. So the 2 back and the 2 back in the loss column, it's not 2 back. It's 3, because they need to outplay them by at least a game. If the Padres end up with a record of 91-71, the Dodgers need to finish 90-72 for the Padres to win the division.
Yep. That's exactly right. So, I mean, again, that's the hard part, man. You see 2 games, like, it's doable, but it's not 2 games. And that might just be enough to give the Dodgers the division potentially.
Maybe.
In 2025. We'll see. They could still win the division by 5 games, LA. I mean, they could. We'll see what happens. Or they could lose this division by a game. Jeff, thank you, man. Appreciate you as always. He says, with Magic number now at 4, which is crazy, I'm bummed we probably won't get to see them clinch at Petco in front of the fans. P.S. Jim, how'd that Annie shout-out go? What was the Annie shout-out?
So when I was doing a wrap-up show solo on Friday, Jeff's celebrity crush is Annie. So he was asking if I could put a good word in for him.
What is going on in the wrap-up show?
Yeah. I was like, maybe.
I don't know, Jeff. And
by the way, Jeff, I did see your email. Sorry, buddy. I will respond to that. Love it. Just a lot going on right now, but I did see your email, so thank you.
I appreciate you, Jeff. What are we, matchmakers?
I don't know.
I mean,
but yeah, no, Jeff is right. The likelihood of them being able to clinch and celebrate at home, probably not going to happen if they take care of business, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It's kind of a bummer, because there's a world where hopefully it doesn't happen, but there's definitely a world where they could clinch a postseason berth on the road. They could clinch a wild card victory while they're on the road. They could, they still could clinch the division, by the way, and they would celebrate that at home. So that's still there.
They could win everything on the road. They could do the wild card series, NLDS, NLCS, World Series.
Yeah, they could do everything on their own, but what I'm saying is, if they won the division, that would be at home.
Have to be at home.
That'd be at home. So they could celebrate twice here in the next 10 days, when you think about it. They could celebrate a postseason berth, and they could potentially celebrate a National League West Division Championship. Or an NLS title, whatever you want to call it.
No, we're not. This is not the job of the show.
Set you with Mary Lou's.
No. There's no setting up here. There's no. You bring up a good point of the division, but like, there's a world where they clinch a playoff spot on the road, they win the wild card series on the road, they win the NLDS on the road, they win the NLCS on the road.
Yeah,
they win the World Series on the road. That'd be cool, though. I'll take that. That means they won the World Series.
Everyone would take that. Could you imagine? Again,
we're getting a little ahead of ourselves.
Just a little ahead.
And by the way, whenever they clinch, they're clinching. Like, celebrate clinching.
Exactly.
They didn't win the division, or who cares? Like, when you're in, celebrate it, because It should be celebrated. It's a long year. And no matter how many wins they compile here, Jim, it's a good year. I mean, they're going to finish, I don't know, 18 games over 500 if they get to 90.
Yeah.
I mean, 18 games over 500. By Padres standards, there's not a ton of 90-win seasons in the history of the franchise, so they should be celebrating once they get into the postseason. And like I saw tonight from Too Much Mortons, we've been saying this for like 15 days. If there's anyone out there that does not think the Padres are a playoff team, and I saw it as recently as yesterday on the wrap-up show, people are telling me, playoffs, LOL, they can't even get a hit with runners in scoring position. The two aren't tied to each other. You could be the worst hitting team with runners in scoring position ever, but if you win 90 games and you're in the playoffs, you're in the playoffs. So, like, don't tell me they're not in the playoffs. It's the dumbest take ever. I see them in the comments, see it in my replies. Like, get a clue. All right, Siki, get to Petco Park next week and see the Padres and see if they can win this division or secure a better seed than the 5 seed in the upcoming playoffs. And over at Siki, if you use our promo code PADSWRAP, that's PADSWRAP, you're going to get $20 off your first order of $50 or more. With our friends over at SeatGeek, we've been able to hook you guys up. Again, $20 off your first purchase of $50 or more with our promo code PADSWRAP. Just click that link in the description, download the app, have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. And we do want to thank our friends over at SeatGeek. Padres will be home to take on the Brewers next week. You can get a pair of tickets for $64 with fees, 32 times two, $64 with fees. Take $20 off. You're getting in two tickets for $44 or about $20 a ticket. So whether it's the Brewer Series or the Diamondback Series or college football or basketball or concerts or other events, make sure to take advantage with our friends at SeatGeek. Use the promo code PODSWRAP.
Yeah. SeatGeek's MLB's official ticket marketplace. Your tickets are fully guaranteed and instantly fulfilled in your account. After you purchase, like John said, all I got to do is use our promo code PODSWRAP, PADSWRAP, for $20 off tickets at SeatGeek for your very first order. You got promo code Jeff and Annie.
It's hilarious.
Hey, man, you can shoot your shot, bro.
It's just, like, yeah, it's just your shot.
Just social media. You can slide in the DMs. Slide in the DMs. No one's stopping you. I'm sure you have Twitter, right? You got Instagram. Slide in those DMs, bro.
Slide in.
Slide in.
I posted a poll. Do you still think the Padres can win the division? 300 votes. 300 votes on YouTube while we've been live. 38% say yes. Okay. 38% of our viewers, about 300 votes, say the Padres can still win the division. I know we've been talking about this for the second half of the year, ever since the Dodgers had a 9-game lead July 3rd, and the Padres cut into that immediately and at one point took a 1-game lead, and they did that actually twice. Again, if I was a betting man, I'm choosing LA to win the division. I just have to be honest. I can't sit here and go sell you on something I don't fully believe in. But just because that's what is likely to happen with the math doesn't mean it's 100% going to happen. JD's third following up by saying Dodgers are 6-3 against the Giants this season. Okay. Great.
Think about it this way. You would need, because they play the Giants for four, right?
They do.
Okay. Say they split that 4-game series.
Yeah, very possible, right?
Yeah. Padres need to go 4-0 in the next four just to be tied. And even then.
Yeah, but you could even go 3-1.
Okay, 3-1. You're one back, but really two back. There's six to play. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So still I'm just saying, like if we want this thing to be tied heading home for the final six games of the season, you need to go 4-0 here. Dodgers need to go split the series with the Giants. And then I feel like if they're tied going to the final six games of the year, Dodgers play six on the road, Padres play six at home, I'd feel much more confident in their chances to win the division if that were to happen.
If that happens, I feel like the Padres are favored to win the division.
Probably, because at home, the Padres are really good. And on the road, you know, I don't know what the Dodgers' road record is, but it's definitely not as good as their home. I mean, their home record's incredible, but their road record's, yeah. So, I mean, we'll see, man.
But you just made a pretty damn compelling argument by saying, okay, the Dodgers split against the Giants. Completely possible.
100%.
Padres sweep a series against the White Sox. Completely possible. I got to win tomorrow.
Yeah.
Dude, if you told me right now, I'm signing up for one back with six to play. I'll take my chances.
Yep.
I'll take my chances. I mean, you go 5-1 on the homestand, they go 3-3. You're freaking drinking champagne that Sunday. I mean, I'll take my chances.
That's what it was. It was like, the Padres win the next four games, they will have successfully had a 5-1 road trip to finish up their season. And that's what we said. Didn't we say, like, hey, 5-1, you like,
yeah,
kind of feel like you got to go 5-1 on this road trip here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're looking at. It's possible, but you got to win tomorrow and you got to take care of business in Chicago against the White Sox. You just have to. You can't have a game where you slip up like you have against the Rockies. Taking 2 or 3 in this situation might not be good enough.
You're right. And like it was John that says, we need to win out to win the division. My guess is they don't. My guess is
I don't think they're winning.
They can afford to lose a game or two, because I just don't think I don't believe that much in the Dodgers right now. And by right now, I mean the second half of the year. I think most Dodger fans feel the same way. We had a super chat earlier tonight from a Dodger fan. It's like, dude, I mean, you guys are right in it. Like, we have a tough schedule to close. I mean, the Dodgers since the 3rd of July are under 500. No, since the 1st of July are under 500. So again, we'll see where the chips fall at the end of the day. And of course the Dodgers are the favorite. They're 2 games up with a tiebreaker with 10 to play. So of course they're the favorite at this point, but we'll see where the chips fall. All right, Underdog Fantasy, guys, make sure to take advantage. The best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. They've got 3 terrific offers going on for you right now with our promo code PADSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. The first offer, get $50 in bonus funds when you play just $5. The second offer, get a 50% deposit match up to $1,000. Their best offer ever. And the third offer, a free gimme pick. What is a gimme pick? It's higher or lower than a half total plate appearance for Fernando Tatis Jr. tomorrow, or higher or lower than a half total point, like in a NFL game, or a higher or lower than a half total passing yard for Dak Prescott for the Dallas Cowboys. You get the point. They're giving you a pick. You pair it with another successful pick'em winner, and you can win big. You can win up to 5,000 times your money in a single night. So click the link in the description down below. Play along. We've had some huge wins over the years on Underdog. I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars. So click that link in the description down below. Get the $50 in bonus funds. Get the 50% deposit match. Get the free gimme pick by using our promo code PODSWRAP.
Yeah, there's a QR code right there. Scan it. We'll take it to the App Store. Download Underdog Fantasy. Football's underway. NFL, college football, baseball still. A lot of sports that you could use Underdog Fantasy for. When you sign up, use our promo code to sign up, PODSWRAP, PADSWRAP.
We have a 4-hour wrap-up show for you tomorrow on John and Jim.
Ooh-wee.
There's your wrap-up show. Not 1 hour, not 2 hours, not 3 hours, not 4 hours, but yes, 4 hours.
4 hours, yeah, 4 hours.
4 hours, full reaction. Game will be over. We'll hear what Mike Schild has to say about it. Game starts at 10:10. Even if it went 3.5 hours, it'd be over by 2 p.m. So join us at 2 p.m. Full immediate reaction following Padres and Mets from Citi Field. And then we look ahead to the weekend and we take a look at where the division, you know, stands at that point after tomorrow's game against the Mets. So join us at 2 p.m. tomorrow on John and Jim, San Diego Sports 760, live on the iHeartRadio app. We've got a YouTube channel as well. Tell your friends, we're on the radio. We could use your support on the radio as well. If you like the wrap-up show, you'd like John and Jim. If you want the wrap-up show to keep going, you want to support John and Jim. So join us tomorrow at 2 p.m. Again, please smash the like button for us. Please subscribe to this channel. Help us get to 9,700 subscribers. Follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. Thank you for the super thanks. If you're here on replay, we really do appreciate you. Thank you for your support of this channel. Support our title sponsor, Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance, as well as Lucky Box, Hamul Casino, SeatGeek, and Underdog Fantasy. Manny Machado hits the grand slam. Padres win in New York 7-4. They'll wrap the series tomorrow at 10:10. We'll catch up tomorrow on John and Jim at 2 p.m. And for Jim, I'm John. This has been the wrap-up show. Thanks, guys.
Peace.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.